KE8MCH. KE8MCH.
KB8PR.
Well, on your way home?
Yes, sirree.
Cool. Anything else besides the repeater?
Well, I managed to sell the all the G's stuff just as I was getting ready to leave. Took a little bit of a hit on it, but at least that's out of my life.
Yeah, there you go. So, oh well. Live and learn, right? Write it off as a learning experience.
Anyways, yeah. That made me happy. That's what made me reason. That's the main thing I wanted to sell. And I got the 2000, so good. I was thinking, you have, of course, you have everything you need to set me up on this thing, right?
I heard you, Jay. We'll catch you there. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you mean by that, but yes, I've got the programming cable, all that stuff. You know, I got a speaker I can borrow you. I don't know that you'll need it. I mean, I don't know what you mean by do I got everything. Pretty much, yeah. Let's let Jay get in there and let me know if that's what you're talking about.
I didn't mean that. I thought I wasn't even heard it. But I just was kind of wondering that still that where you got to go to the station this year.
I didn't copy any of that. They're all noise. So, see if you can find it. Yeah, I'm talking about, you know, to help me tune it up and check everything out. I did find a speaker. It's not the speaker, but it is a Motorola amplified speaker. It's one of those older ones, SM something. I wonder if I can make that work. It's got a modular Molex connector on it with about, I think it's about six pins in it or something. Might probably make an adapter cable for that. But I was mainly thinking about, you know, that pre-selector's got these kind of special cable to stick down in those holes or whatever. And I'm sure you can get the software and set up the cable and all that. But I was thinking maybe I could just bring it over to you place that could work and get it all nice and shiny. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no problem there. Well, I don't remember that pre-selector being difficult to tune. I thought it was out there. I don't remember anything being highly recessed or difficult to access. I'll have to take a look at that. But yeah, we'll get it tuned up. I think you'll find they're quite remarkable sensitivity-wise. I don't know if the VHF is any. Although I haven't seen a lot of UHFs. That's you know, truth be told. So maybe that's something there for me to see. I know the VHFs are remarkably sensitive. I mean, we're talking on the order of like 0.15 microvolt. It's they're nutty receiver sensitive, and I'm guessing that would probably transfer over to the UHF design as well. So yeah, we'll get it all hooked up as soon as you get here. That's you know, if you want to run by during the day, you know, anytime this week, we'll throw it on the bench, knock it out. Jay, yeah, can you do something about your signal? That last one was pretty rough.
Is it any better?
Yeah, but the minute I say it, you know, it'll go to hell. But yeah, give it a try.
Yeah, I was just trying to, I wanted to ask Phil, did he go to the hell convention this year?
Yeah, I'm just coming back from it, so it was nice, but I'd see you down there, which obviously not. Yeah, that sounds good. I did order that board from the Peterbilt guys for the interface, so that should be making things pretty easy, I would imagine.
Okay, I'm not familiar with which board. Has he got a board that is ready made to go right to your controller?
Yeah, it's an interface. It's a buffer board. It goes and plugs into that big 36-pin connector, whatever that thing is, and it gives you all kinds of useful outputs. You know, it isolates everything. So you got all your CUSBTT audio in, audio out, and other stuff, and so even gives you a 12-volt outlet for hooking like the controller to or something. So looks like a good deal.
All right, I'm looking it up here to see if I can find it. See if I can see what it's all about. But yeah, he does quality stuff, so I'm sure anything he's got is going to make your life easier. Jay?
Yeah, I'll let you guys continue. It's just, so I just jumped in and see if it went. And still, I did go, but I went for one day. Went Friday, because the person I ride with, they only want to go for one day. And I don't drive them. So that's that. So.
But, all right,
well, have a good
day, you guys, and we'll catch up with you later. This is WCL. Okay, Jay, very good. I couldn't connect to my node at my repeater site. Do you know of any network issues?
Attention, let me check here. I think everything's working. There's you. You're connected. WB8ARC, West Bloomfield. You've been connected for, everything's been connected for 4 hours, 38 minutes, and 11 seconds. So, looks like there was a reboot about 4 hours ago. And the IC are connected up to 48.412s. No, I don't know. I can't explain why.
Yeah, weird. Okay. Alrighty then. So, yeah, I'll try to, let's see. I don't know what my schedule looks like. I don't know maybe what your schedule is. Maybe... maybe try the end of the week, Thursday or Friday afternoon. Do you know anything going on then?
You know, no, I'll make it a point. I'll check my calendar to see if there's anything and let you know if there's any conflicts. But I think we'd be good. You know, if I do have any spare time, I'm gonna try to get back on the P25 machine. That's a priority of mine right now. I don't imagine it's gonna take. You know, those things are amazing. It ain't gonna take more than about half an hour to tops to get that thing ready to go. They're pretty amazingly easy to work on. So, anywho. Yeah, I'm looking for this board. I'm here at this site, and I'm not seeing it. I see he's got a STM32 board that plugs into the card slots and gives you DVM functionality, but I don't see what you're describing.
Okay, I don't know. You know, they had the guy there, the SCOM controller guy, he's the one who builds them, actually, I think. I'm not so sure it actually goes through a repeater builder. Look on SCOM.
All right, that's what you have, is an SCOM controller. Let's see here. Yeah, I'll look here and see what he's got.
No, actually, I've got a RCOM controller, but it's the SCOM guy.
Yeah.
So, he makes. I guess he builds them, and he tests them. He had a couple there, but he said they hadn't been tested, so he didn't want to sell them.
Well, I'll dig around, but man, I am all over here, and I'm not seeing anything that indicates MTR2K interface.
Yeah. Okay. He's also working on building some. What do you call that? The voting system using All-Star. He's working on building those with the GPS and everything.
Is it a cable or a board?
No, it's a board. Like I said, it plugs right into that big connector. It's so as wide as that, and it's probably 2 inches. It almost goes to the back to where the preselector sits, but not quite.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. Obviously, you've seen it. You've had hands-on, so. But, boy, there's just not a lot of... I'm just doing general Google searches for SCOM to MTR2000. MTR2000 repeater interface board. I'm just trying to Google it now. Can't find anything.
Oh, well. I took some pictures of it. So, did you hear what I said about he's working on that voting system stuff? He's going to come on. I don't know what he's going to charge for it.
Is it, digital voting, All-Star voting, something like that, or is it analog? I have no interest in analog voting ever again. I've seen the last of that I ever want to deal with.
the All-Star stuff. What do you call it? I forgot. Then those initials.
RTCM. Is he going to have some sort of RTCM product? That would be cool.
Yeah, that's it. With a GPS module and everything. So I took some pictures of that stuff.
And this is the SCOM guy?
Yep. Yep. And, yeah, I was asking him about, you know, so he sells controllers. I asked him, I said, you can come out with, like, a, you know, controller that's got a web server in it and to, for programming and up and maintaining. He says he's working on one. So I said, yeah, that'd be nice.
But here's a ICF controllers, MTR2000 passive adapter boards. Look like exactly what you're describing, but that's a company called ICF controllers.
No, I'm familiar with them. I got one of their controllers running that GMRS, that small GMRS we have. Yeah, it's not that.
And W8FU. All right, well, I'll dig around a little bit, but, well, I'll definitely see what you're talking about when you get it. But, or, you know, when you're home and comfortable, shoot me a link. Everything, even the RTCM thing, very curious about that. So, but yeah, it's bugging me that I can't find anything on this board you're talking about. Is it new?
Yeah, it may be too new that he hasn't put it up there yet or not. So, yeah, I don't know, but he did have one there plugged into an MTR, hooked to a controller, and it was working. So, passing through Wapakoneta, there's the Neil Armstrong Air and Space Museum, right off the freeway.
Kilo Delta 9, Uniform Papa Bravo, mobile.
Sorry, what was that station? Mobile, yeah, a little
Bravo.
Bit noisy.
I'm not 100% sure on that. Just wasn't prepared. The brain matter didn't connect. Go ahead.
This is Kilo Delta 9 Uniform Papa Bravo. I heard two operators respond to my call. The one who said that they weren't prepared. How about you go ahead?
Okay, it might have been Phil and I. We were out here chatting. But, yeah, I just wasn't prepared. I said Uniform Papa Bravo. I didn't catch anything else because I wasn't really prepared to grab it. So, good afternoon. Got myself sitting here in Warren, just north of Detroit on the 442.6 machine. And we got Phil down in Wapakoneta, Ohio, heading home from the Ham Fest. I'll pass it over to Phil, and he can pass it over to you. My name is Sean, and the call is W8FU. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, well, hello. Yeah, like Sean said, my name is Phil, and the call is Alpha Bravo 8, Papa Radio. So go ahead and see where you're at in your name.
Yeah, operator here is Eric, spelled Echo Romeo India Charlie Hotel. If you missed it, the call sign is Kilo Delta 9, Uniform Papa Bravo. I'm currently in a traffic jam on M14, and I'm about to creep underneath Dexter Road.
Ah, okay, so you're either on the West Bloomfield or the or the 2.6 and 1. Are you on the 2.5 or the 2.6? I'm guessing you got to be on one of those.
Negative. I'm actually on the Kelsey repeater, 448.575.
Ah, okay, okay. Yeah, I forget that that's sometimes hooked up through various means. So it's not always connected up, but I think that's, yeah. All right, cool. Yeah, it looks like that's connected up to the Holly machine. So you're coming through that one, which is connected up to Holly, which is connected up to the CMN MI1 network, which is connected up to us, which is FBI network, and ships at sea. So very good. Eric, go ahead, Phil.
Okay, I wonder what's going on M14. That you're in a traffic jam. Must be construction. I'm not even going that way. A lot of times I would be if I was coming back. But I'll just be going right up I-75. So, can avoid that. So I'm on a node in the car connected through my phone. And that's how I'm actually doing it. I'm on I-75, mid-Ohio, somewhere between Dayton and Findlay. Go ahead, Eric.
Thank you, Phil. I take it you're probably using EchoLink. That's something I've not dabbled with just yet. There's just so many little odd facets and rabbit holes in this hobby that's pretty easy to dive into. Usually if I'm doing HF, I'm either doing DSA call or slow CNTV. But I'm in the lane closure here on M14 trying to make my way back to Wisconsin. But, my folks still live out this way, and I haven't seen them since before the pandemic, so I was definitely overdue. Sean, I never wrote down your call sign. If you can come back with that, I'll definitely send you guys some USL cards when I get home.
Okay, so I'm looking on a map here to see where Dexter is, but I don't think that's an exit on M14. Wondering how far out you are to start picking up the Chelsea. So, anywho, yeah, the call here is Whiskey Number 8 Fox United, W8FU.
Phil, is that the call sign the FCC gave you, or is that a vanity call? Hi, hi.
This is Sean. That is a that's a vanity call.
Perhaps when I had my wits about me when my license was issued, maybe I should have asked for my call sign to end in Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. But the FCC actually issued that one.
Yeah, mine has a long, rich history. It was one of the very first call signs, first issued back in, 1912, at the very beginning of call signs. You know, of course, as 8FU, and then it had a couple of owners along, even one famous one, a jazz musician. Well, minor fame, but... then it picked up the W when they added the prefixes to the calls. And I got it from a gentleman in Ohio who was very off the radar. He has literally no internet presence whatsoever when he passed. And so I'm kind of bringing it into the digital era kind of virgin. So... the call in the digital era will be pretty much associated with me. There's just no other sign of it, except for in old QSTs and history books. Phil?
Yeah. Speaking of call signs, I think it was
It was Wally let me know about that WAPR is coming up in July. And now I wanted to ask you about the timing. What I understand, you tell me if I'm correct, when it comes to that ground to you, is that I have to submit it right on the day after it expires, plus 2 years, two years out, plus one. And it doesn't matter what time of day, because it doesn't matter what time, it's not like first come, first serve. Let me know if that's correct. And Eric, I wonder, so are you heading westbound or eastbound, and going back to Wisconsin? Where were you visiting? Where do your parents live? Just curious. ADA Pierre.
Now, yes, I am westbound. I'm headed back to Wisconsin. BTH is pretty much halfway between Madison and Milwaukee. Actually, if you guys are ever in that area going down 94, look for a repeater. The call sign is Whiskey 9 Tango Tango November. That's my club's call sign. And that antenna is 400 feet up at a old broadcast tower. And it covers the edge of Madison to the edge of Milwaukee. It's got a really big footprint. My folks actually live in Northville. Where I was at pretty much the whole week. And for the most part, I was helping Dad with various projects around the house. We burned some trees. We got two cars fixed. A little overqualified for that, as I've been fixing cars professionally for 25 years now. But back to... Let's go back to Sean.
Yeah, we all do that. I've been LMR, professional commercial two-way radio, for my whole entire life, and yet I'm still the guy that's got to, you know, fix the clock on the VCR. No, that's not a thing anymore. But you know the drill. I gotta. Can you look at my kids' clothes and play? So. I imagine the same thing applies to a competent mechanic. You gotta, you know, oh, can you fix Joey's electric scooter? You're a mechanic. So we have to do that stuff. What are you gonna do? So.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I don't get out that way very much. Last time I was there, we come back from a cross-country trip, went through Madison and such, but not very often. So, and you were asking about how were this whole thing connected. We use All-Star, not Echolink, it's All-Star, much better system. So there's a bunch of repeaters connected with it. I'm connected on, like I said, on my personal node, so I'm transmitting on my radio, and the nodes here in the car connected to my phone, because the phone's a hotspot, and then out to the internet, and then out to the network, and it's pretty nice. I'm going to drop out here for a little bit. I got to make a phone call, and I've got to start looking for some lunch, so I got to check out a few things. So over to you, Eric, and Sean, will you comment about what I asked about the dates? Am I correct about the dates for the call sign? This is ABAPR. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay, thank you much, and hopefully I'll still be in range when you're done with your phone call. No, I was mistaken about the call sign for the CHF, the two-meter repeater. The call sign for that one is K9LUK. The W9TTN repeater is a 440 band D-Star repeater, but they both have about the same coverage areas. The antennas are pretty much right next to each other on that tower.
Well, very good. So, all right, Phil, we'll catch you in a bit. I will talk to you about that. Reasons. And anyhow, yeah, I'll talk to you about that. You're kind of correct, but you're kind of mixing up some things that won't apply. So Yeah, I'll chat with you. And, Eric, that sounds, I mean, anytime you get a tower, you know, breaking 200, you know, especially you start getting up around, you know, 300-400, boy, you got a monster. And that sounds like a nice system. I'm not too interested in the D-Star. I know you got to run pretty specific stuff for that. I am curious, you know, what the D-Star is seen in your area is like, but more interested the conventional repeater, which I think is a VHF by your discussion here. I'm just wondering what kind of hardware you're running on it, and then what's the D-Star? What's it like in your way? It's virtually non-existent in this area.
I'm not gonna lie, D-Star kind of has a learning curve. I bought an ID 5100 secondhand, and that's what I've got in my mobile. And I've always had a lot of trouble making a D-Star contact with that. It seems like I only get sent out as like a local repeater. I don't get sent out to the reflector, which is all internet enabled. Which it's kind of unfortunate because there was one instance. There was a fellow in England who was using the Midwest reflector because that was one of the more active ones. Of course, I wasn't able to join the conversation and nerd out about aircraft because he worked for Marconi Avionics, and basically he fixed all the stuff that the RAF couldn't figure out. I've got an ID 4100 in the shack. I bought that off of a guy in my club. So as far as I know, that should work properly, but I really need to sit down and read the manual with all the ins and outs about how to use D-Star. You know, I know I could be in another part of the country and talk to people in Wisconsin using D-Star. D-Star and DMR seem to be the popular digital modes, but it can be really regional. One fellow in my club, he likes to, you know, take a camper down south in the wintertime, and some of the places in the southwest, there's not a lot of D-Star or DMR out there. Trying to think of what some of the other digital modes are. Oh, geez, people merchant, I gotta drive. Okay, traffic sorted itself out. 89 UTV mobile.
Alright, I didn't want to bother you while you were doing the barrel slaloms or whatever you were doing there, so. But, like I say, we got one machine in this area, maybe two in the greater area, but one that's reachable from my neck of the woods. And, it's funny you say that about some English guys camping out in the Midwest reflector. We got Michigan one, and a couple of times I tried to get on. That's all I heard was just a bunch of guys in England using it. And it's like, yeah, they found that it wasn't being used, and so it was a good place for them to hidey hole. I'm like, well, what's the point of having a Michigan, you know, specific reflector if it's going to be just commandeered by, you know, a bunch of guys in England, you know? So, I mean, I guess they'd get out of the way if you needed it, but I just didn't feel comfortable with the whole thing. So, I don't know. I played with it a little bit, two or three times, and I just never really saw the point, I guess. I like DMR. Infusion, I think, is really, you know, easy for the average person to get into. It's just a no-brainer, so I don't, you know, the other modes beyond D-Star, DMR and Infusion, I just, you know, now you're starting to get into, like you said, learning curves or you know, the esoteric, you know, like P25. I'm a big fan of P25, but I don't recommend it. You know, it's just not a lot going on. I mean, I'm doing a repeater on P25, and I'm joining a network of P25 repeaters around the state here, but, yeah, do I recommend people get into it? Yeah, you know, you got to know why you're doing it, you know, because it's not gonna be this big bastion of, you know, activity. So yeah, it's, you know, everything's a niche, niche of some sort, and that. So, but that's good. Now back to the I don't know if you said and I didn't hear or wasn't paying attention, but the VHF repeater. What kind of equipment are you running there? You might have said and I just did. I didn't hear it. I don't know.
I'm not 100% sure what the equipment is for the VHF side. I know a while ago we actually had to send the repeater in for repair because we were getting some bad audio reports, and now that it's back and set back up, I mean, it's got really, really good audio. It's always had really good audio, but this next month it's going to get really tied up because the Trek 100 bicycle race is coming up, and we let the organizers of that race use that repeater to help coordinate everything. And they get a bunch of volunteers that'll have an APRS radio in there. So in the boardroom or the meeting room, they got a big old projector screen map so they know exactly where all the assistance vehicles are. And really, really impressive. Last year, a lost child incident got wrapped up in 15 minutes. The really crazy one was one fellow participated in the race against doctor's orders and had some sort of cardiac incident in an area where there was no cell coverage. That took a bit of doing to find the right municipality to get an ambulance out to him, but they were able to get an ambulance to him, and last I heard, he's still doing really well.
Well, that's good. That's what it's all about in the end, right? I used to not think otherwise, but I used to not give a whole lot of thought to that. But as I progress along here in the hobby and as I get older and stuff and get more involved in certain things, I just kind of realize that, you know, in the end, you know, all this horsing around like we're doing right now and everything is all well and good, but if you don't, you know, if you don't use it for something meaningful occasionally, then, you know, you don't have to, but you really should, you know, try to make it available for those kind of things, and I find that that's at least some reward in and of itself.
Unfortunately, there's always an event that weekend that a good friend of mine and I always go to. But he liked the idea of him driving around in my Saab SUV, aka a Chevy Trailblazer, in a European suit. And I told him, how about you just drive around and I do the radio stuff and you'll go help out for this bicycle race. And he even went as far as to wanting to mount a full-width amber strobe light bar to the top of my truck. And I'm like, well, people will certainly see us, that's for sure. But unfortunately, we always have a prior commitment that weekend. I'm hoping one of these years we'll be able to do it because, to me, that just sounds like it'd be kind of fun and definitely something interesting. I've definitely done a couple of things in this hobby that not everybody can say that they do, including scrapping out an old AM broadcast transmitter.
There was a time where that was something I really wanted. It was an old AM broadcast transmitter to do up, but I never really had the station set up to do it. And it's still something, you know, in the back of my mind. I wouldn't mind. That'd be kind of cool, but I'm doubting I'll ever get to the point where I want to deal with everything that entails. Just hauling them around. But I'm getting less and less interested in that kind of stuff. But there was a time where I thought, man, I could get one of them and put that on the air. That'd be cool as hell. Get a KW1 and match it up with my KWS175A4, you know. Not really a broadcast transmitter, but kind of that same old, you know, old AM type rig. So probably will never happen. The best I'll ever do is a DX100 or something.
I want to say it was an old Collins, but don't hold me too on that. I don't know if they ever did broadcast stuff. But the thing was pretty clean. Like, all the good stuff had already been stripped out of it, at which point, you know, that was just garbage taking up space in the middle of the floor in one part of the transmitter shack. So we cut that up and cleaned it out and swept the floors. And well, the tower site where that repeater was at changed hands, so at that point, we're making the new tower site owners happy, and they're continuing to honor the agreement where we pay for rent on the tower by maintaining the grounds out there. and Lucky came on LGK, every stop, and he hauls the lawnmower out there and mows the lawn, and he's like kind of the caretaker of the repeater in my club.
That's a good deal, yeah. It's a good way to go, so. And imagine a tower that big's got a pretty big piece of property, get all them guy wires covered, if they all come down on the property, which I'm sure they must. So, all right, Eric, I do got to get out of here. I carried it as long as I could. I don't know how much longer you're still, you know, you've been a little bacony, just a little bit the whole way, but you're 100%, never missed a word. You've been carrying this repeater quite well, and I would be curious to see how far it carries, but I've got some things I got to tend to here.
Yeah, I was just about to go through the menu here on the IC5100 and see if it'll tell me exactly how far away I am from the repeater. But, yeah, I think I'm approaching it. It seems like the signal coming in on my end is getting stronger and stronger. If you really want to see what the tower site looks like, it is right next to, or it's almost directly across the street from a Farm and Fleet, that's the name of the store, in Watertown, zip code 53098. And, yeah, you can get a good overhead view of what the tower site looks like from there.
Okie doke, maybe I'll check that out. So, all right, I'm going to get to some things here, and I'd like to see how far you're carrying, so I hate getting out, dropping out, but I do got to tend to something. All right, Eric, you travel safe, and hopefully we'll catch you again when you're in town. Jump in here, and when you're in Northville, you got a couple of choices, but if you can carry this one all the way, why not? And if I'm ever out your way, which is not terribly likely, but if I am, I'll try to remember to hit you up there. KDAU, I'm not going to try. I'll butcher it up. You only got to remember your own, right? W8FU. Take care.
W8FU, Kilo Delta 9 Uniform Papa Bravo. Yeah, I'm moving along at a pretty good clip. I just checked in the IC5100, and I'm, like, right along the repeater right now, only 2 miles away. So, yeah, it's probably going to be like maybe another 20, 30 minutes. I'll still be in range of the repeater probably. But, yeah, I'll just keep listening to this repeater for a while. KD9UPD mobile monitoring.
Okay, maybe we'll look you up in a little bit. Travel safe. KD9UPB from W8FU.
KD9UPB mobile, did you repeat last?
Call sign here is AB8Y, Alpha Bravo 8 Yankee. Name's Lance.
Okay, I'm sorry I missed your name there. Call sign here is Kilo Delta 9, Uniform Papa Bravo. Name here is Eric, spelled Echo Romeo India Charlie Hotel.
Yep, I was listening to you earlier, talking to Sean and Phil, wondering, when you're doing D-Star on your 5100, are you using DR mode or set programs?
Honestly, I'm still trying to get the hang of D-Star. I don't use it a whole lot, mostly because I honestly haven't figured out all the ins and outs with it, and I'm not sure if I'm using that mode correctly. So for the most part, on this IC5100, I'm doing FM.
Well, one of the nice features with the 5100 is that DR mode. Kind of simplifies all the D-Star stuff for you. You might need to have that programmed in there if it didn't come with your radio, but it should be. I think it comes in there by default, but that'll really simplify things and can is one of the things that could be a little bit deceiving as the if you're not getting out on a reflector, as if you're using the wrong CQ.
Okay, I'm getting kind of sizzly here from the repeater, even though I'm, last I checked, I'm not terribly far. I got to be within less than 10 miles of the tower site. How am I coming through on your end?
Sound not too bad. It's all right. It's a little, a little fuzzy, but you're perfectly copyable.
Okay, it must be some of the terrain here, because the noise just kind of comes and goes depending upon elevation and surroundings and such, but as is life in the mobile.
Yeah, you can get fairly hilly over in that area, but yeah, definitely check that DR mode out. It'll might help you figure out D-Star a little bit better. That's kind of my recommended way to use it. It'll use a GPS to find your nearest repeater, and you just tell it what reflector you want to use, and tell it to use it.
Yeah, I am getting a lot of noise right now, even though I'm less than 10 miles away from the repeater, at least according to the database that I've put into the radio here. So, I don't know, maybe I might want to give it a mile or two and maybe see if some of the noise goes away, or maybe you're going to come in fairly clearly here on your response.
This way you're coming in fine. Are you still, are you on the West Bloomfield machine, or are you, which repeater are you going to?
I'm using the Chelsea repeater on 448.575.
Okay, not too familiar with that one, but probably should be. I go down into Chelsea sometimes for work, so we have our proving grounds out there.
So unfortunately, I was only able to make out just the very beginning of your last. This noise is really, really getting intense here, at least for me. So I'm going to say KG9 UPB monitoring on your final.
Hey, Eric, before you lose it, where are you at?
Okay, I am on westbound 94. I just passed mile marker 148.
You're driving away from that Peter at that point, right? Isn't Chelsea at 130-something? I guess either way, I'm almost at my destination, so I will say 73. So you can be at one.
This is KFA, GQ monitoring.
WD8KLL.
Hello,
Jack. How you doing today? WD8KLL.
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I didn't catch all that, Jack, but I heard you say you woke up at 10, and the wind's blowing.
Oh, yeah. Had my first coffee.
Yeah, you need to find your sweet spot there, Jack. You're breaking up pretty good. Yeah, I'm not sure. It's pretty staticky on my end here.
On the road.
Yeah, still on the road. Coming up to in Toledo.
Oh, you're making good time. There you go. So, yeah, that Chelsea repeater worked really good, boy. He got on that thing right when he left his folks. It seems he was on, I'll have to look at the map to see where he was, 14 in Dexter. And carried that thing to halfway to Jackson. So, nice fill if you're making the Ann Arbor run. Although, who would do that?
Yeah, and actually, I'm going through Ann Arbor. Waze said that saved me time going up 23 rather than going up 75. Must be some, I think there's some construction.
You gonna run up into the lakes, come in from the bottom side there?
Yeah, pretty much, I guess. So, I'm just coming up to the 23-475 split.
Roger. Did you get my text, by the way?
I did see you send me a text. I haven't looked at it yet, and I don't want to do it while I'm driving.
All right. Yeah, I answered that one question pretty much. So, anywho, I still I gave up on looking for that board and whatnot. So I'll just have to get all the info from you when you get in town.
Man. Starting to get a little what do they call it? White line fever going on here. It's a beautiful day though. Wow, picturesque sky. I mean, it's a little fluffy clouds, a lot of blue.
I take it the big winds you were worried about didn't ever materialize.
It was very windy yesterday. It didn't get out. I mean, there was somebody had said that they were saying 70 mile an hour gusts. That didn't happen, but there were definitely, I think, 20 to 30 mile an hour gusts. I saw some, at least one canopy that apparently the guy left up. It was all bent to hell. You know, I don't know if something got blown into it or what happened, but it was a twisted hunk of metal. We took our canopies down completely.
Roger, who were you set up with?
Dan, yeah, PLW and his crew.
Roger. So, very good. You were there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Thursday? I can't remember. You left on Thursday, but you didn't get there on Thursday, right?
No, we did. We got there Thursday and set up the tables and the canopies for the first night. And we got there Friday, and then when I heard about the wind advisory, we took them down. Here, Michigan. Hey. Out of the enemy territory here.
Oh, wow. You're way closer than I thought. Man, you made good time. But unless you were much farther along when you got on the radio than I had expected. I thought you were at the 75-475 split south of Toledo.
I was on the northwest corner of that. Just before the split, I was hearing the FBI directly, just breaking the squelch. Couldn't hear anything, couldn't make anything out of it, but I was picking up the signal.
Cool. Yeah. I gotta investigate that receiver issue that you brought to my attention, I guess. So you gotta go to JHK Labs LLC, and then you go to repeater controllers, and it's MTR-2000 buffered interface. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah, look at this. Oh, yeah, that's sexy. Oh, yeah, it must be brand new. It says pricing TBD. So, they don't even have it. They show it, but you can't buy it.
Well, I did. $70.
Well, that's pretty fair looking at this thing. This thing's no toy. What is that? Master Communications PLT-15. There's a daughter board or some sort of a piggyback board. It looks perhaps like it's optional. PLF-15 or PLT-15. I don't know, I can't. You got wireline jumpers, radio, aux, alarms, miscellaneous I.O., buffered interface. Yeah, very nice. That's a pretty fair price for what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, the other little board is $10. It's a filter for PL, but I, since I run the PL in the controller, it does the filtering.
Yeah, let's see, what do they give you here? They give you GPIO, GPI 7320, PXRX lock, AUXIO, VSWR fault, PA fail, AC fail. That's funny that those are on the radio connector, and the alarms connector has the PTT and COS and all that. I think he's got those silkscreen wrong. But anyhow, it looks like he's got RXCT CSS decode out, COR out, PTT in, CT CSS encode in, RSSI out. You need that for the RTCM ground, TX audio in, TX audio out. Very nice. Very nice. JHK Labs, I think it is. Cool.
Yeah, because you said that connector goes, directly to the microprocessor, and if you're not careful, you can end up blowing that out. So, that one better be safe than sorry. So, and it's funny, everybody I talk to said the same thing about the power supplies and those things. So, worst case scenario, if something happens with that, I'll have to, just run a 24-volt supply.
So I'm looking at, yes.
So how did you actually end up finding the website?
Has the voter board, but it's very specifically for MTR-2000. MTR-2000 option slot compatible. Very nice. They're running MTR receivers and MTR repeater. A very nice solution. I wonder what he's going to ask for those. The problem is they're made specifically for the MTR-2000. Motorola option slot specific. A standalone is in development. Okay. There we go. But if you got a 2000, very sweet.
Yeah, that's what he was saying, that they're working on that. They'll have a, I don't know if it's going to be optional or not, but they have a GPS module on it.
Well, the one I'm looking at here does, has the antenna connector. So it looks like it has the GPS module built in, and it may be a piggyback board, so it may be a optional item. Yeah, it kind of looks like a plug-in option, but definitely looks like a very well-designed product, and does offer some forward planning as the RTCMs age, you know, get older. So, I think you made the right choice. You know, the 2K's got that one Achilles heel that is, you know, not the end of the world, but it's got that one Achilles heel, and that's the power supply. Other than that, it's a pretty solid unit.
Yeah. So what led you to that site? How'd you find it?
Well, I think I went back to ESCOM, and then I went to... what was it? Products. Oh, if you go to the, if you go to ESCOM LLC, they've got their products, but then they've got a tab that says JHK Labs products. So that's it's a link on their toolbar.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, I uploaded some. I took some QR code shots and downloaded the links, so I have those in my phone. So it probably just takes you right to where you're at right now.
Could be. But anyhow, I do see it, and it looks like a very well-designed product. You know. I don't know much about its operation, but I'm sure it works. So, very cool. And the interface board looks really nice, too. So, very, very nice, especially if you want to venture into the RTCM world. And, of course, you know, then you'd want to be running MTR receivers as well. So, they're out there. That's another thing you have to come up with. I don't think you have any plans for that, so not a big deal.
No, I'm not. Did see there was somebody selling an SLR machine out there.
And then?
Okay.
I only caught the last half syllable of what you responded with. How much?
Three.
Yeah, still a little pricey for us mortals. But, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I guess you could run digital modes on that one, right? You could run the DMR or P25 natively on that, or is that an option?
I believe they'll run DMR native, so you just, they seem to be popular in that role. So, you've seen the form factor, though, right? I mean, it's pretty sexy in that regard.
Yeah, a little thinner than the MTR. Not that much different. Yeah. Okay, man, that MTR, get your exercise on lugging that thing around.
Dude, I have Quantar, so I don't want to hear it.
Okay, just hearing the FBI coming breaking through. I actually heard the courtesy beep. In Dundee, at the Cabela's.
Yeah, I find as I was running 23, I could hear it in and out, you know, particularly if you'd crest a little bit of a hill, something like that. You know, definitely way outside of any expected coverage, but I did find I could work it in a few spots on that along that run up around Mason, and but anyhow, it does start to poke its little head in there.
Yeah, I can actually make you out a little bit for like 2 seconds.
Get that quarter K up there. Ooh-wee.
Yeah. The duplexer can handle that much, huh?
Yeah, I got a Solwave pass reject. They're a beast.
And no descent issues at all? That's pretty good. What do you got? What do you think you have the same ones like I have? The six-cavity, used to be Phelps Dodge, Solwave, that one?
I guess. I don't remember exactly what you have, but they're, you know, it's a Solwave, I think Phelps Dodge, pass reject. They've got the... got the plunger for the pass, and then you got the screw adjustment for or the screwdriver, you know, slug for the notch for the reject.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's the same one. Yeah, those are pretty nice to tune up too, because you can separate each can and tune each can for its best performance and put all that together and tweak it.
Yep, I have a couple of, I have a Sinclair or two that were pretty good as well, but those are by far my favorite. Those were the easiest to tune up, maintain, and all that stuff, so, you know, given my druthers, that's what I get. I've monkeyed with others, but they're either fiddly or just not real precise. I just never warmed up, you know. But those in particular are you know, just pretty rock solid.
Yeah, I just didn't know they could handle the 250 watts. I guess I don't know what they're rated at maximum. I just know 100 is no problem for them.
I believe they're rated to 300, I think.
Okay. I was just trying to see if I could get into my receiver. But nothing. Yeah, by the way, I am connected now to my node. I don't know what was the term. That key up was me on my repeater near my one.
All right, sorry about that. I was just asked if the Chelsea machine was a regular thing on the MI-1. Jeff responded back with, it's been linked up to MI-1 for years, so if that's the case, then I'll program it in my radios. It seems like a very usable radio for traveling that away.
Yeah, I think I might have it. Let me, I should really get into it from here. Yeah, let me see if I can find it. Hold on.
Yeah, it's 443-575. I'll be listening. W8FU. Or I could talk, and as you're checking your, spinning your dial, if you hear my melodious tones, you'll say, oh, that must be it. So, who knows, maybe that'll help you find it. I don't want to chat too terribly long. I don't know. What say you? Have you found it yet?
ADHDR. I'm in helping. I can hear myself looking at the detectors. A little noisy.
Yeah, but 100%. I can hear everything you're saying. I was shocked that that guy Eric, he had a little bacon fry on him the minute he chimed in, and it never changed. He never got worse. He never got better. And he was perfect. He was in 100%, but he had like a fry on his signal the whole time. And that's from miles east of it, right past it, beyond it. And I'm like, it was weird, because you would expect him to, you know, at some point get, you know, noisy and drop out, or one point get real quiet, you know, and I never heard that. It's like he had the same exact signal the whole time we were talking to him.
Still a little too far out.
Okie dokie. All right. Well, just curious. But, boy, it really worked for him on 14, M14, all the way to, you know, halfway between Ann Arbor and Jackson. So that makes for a good machine to, right about when you drop out of the range of our machines, you should be able to start picking that one up on M14 and carry that into Ann Arbor. I don't know why anybody in the right mind would want to go to Ann Arbor, but...
Well, see, that's the problem. That's that you can't even comprehend that. That's that education system down there.
Oh, man. I told you I went to, was it Zingerman's? What's the name of that famous deli? I went there for the first time ever a few weeks back when I was road tripping to Kalamazoo.
Yeah, it's an institution. I remember it used to be just the one house, and then they bought the next house next to it, and I think then they bought the next house next to that. I think they own the whole block now. And then there's Zingerman's Roadhouse, which is a totally different location.
Yep. It's cool. I'm glad I went, but it's more like, you know, it's almost like bigger than itself now. I think what it maybe probably once was has been lost to its fame, and now it's more like a carnival attraction or something. And yeah, it was good. It really was. But the whole atmosphere there is really crazy. And I'm glad I went, but I don't know if it was something I'd do on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly what you said. It's become a band.
Well, you would probably know this firsthand, but my guess is that when it was just the little, you know, deli house, these, you know, late night students would go there and get a sandwich or something like that, you know, and late at night and, you know, cramming for exams or something, send somebody out to Zingerman's and, you know, became, you know, famous, you know, with them. And then as they all graduated and went on to, careers and all that stuff, they fondly remembered and they started coming back and, you know, and then it became legendary, you know, because it was this, you know, little deli that they used to, you know, go to when they were in school. And then it took on a whole life of its own and just snowballed from there. And, doubt it's really attracting the same kind of people it did in its original day. I mean, I'm sure it gets some students, but not many students stay to help serve it now.
Yeah, this is ABAP here. Yeah, it's, when I was in school there, I don't remember it being a big deal. I mean, I knew it was there, but it wasn't like, oh, man, you know, you got to go to this place. It was mostly, I think, I was in the central campus area, and that was more in the hill area, as they say. And I think medical students probably more than they. A very another popular place, which is, I think, pretty much stayed the same as Angelo's. That's very well known for breakfast stuff. My favorite is still Pizza Bob's. And you go walk in the place, and it looks identical to it did 50 years ago.
Speaking of that, yesterday I went. I was out and about, and or was it Saturday? Maybe it was Saturday. And on my way, no, it was Friday. Anyhow, on my way home from where I was going, I stopped at Ernie's Market, got myself a sandwich. Who loves you, baby? I don't know if you replied. I just heard a, that's about it.
Yeah, I said, what market are you talking about?
Ernie's Market in Oak Park. It's like 8 1/2 and Capitol Street, or I forget what street it's on, but it's in that almost Ferndale. It's right there on the border, Ferndale, about 8 1/2. Ernie's Market. Coming through good. You know, no, the popcorn, but you're coming through.
Yeah, if only the transmitter worked as well. Well, that's going to get fixed. So, yeah, I thought I could hit it from way over here.
Can you make it into the 2.6?
No, I cannot.
All right, I mean, that's a long haul, but I think I was cracking it. I think one time, but again, I may have something going on there. I'm not sure. I got to check it out. Anywho, you know, we're asking these things to do a little bit more than they're really supposed to. Yeah, I hear you, just not great. So, hey, what are you going to do?
It's a good tool for that. All right, I'm going to let you go. I got to, I know there's construction. As soon as I get on the M14, I got to have to pay attention to that. So, all right, we'll talk to you later in the week, and we'll get together and figure this thing out. Thanks for riding along, because I was about ready to fall asleep. All right, W8FU, ABAP.
Okay, I'll be around. Look forward to getting that. I couldn't wait if I were you. I'd be at my place at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning to get that thing tuned up and installed. I get it. You got things to do. So I couldn't wait to get that thing online. Whatever, you let me know. I'll be here. Talk to you. W8FU.
last time.
Yes, anyway.
NATKBP.